Hello, everyone. Welcome into episode 52 of the Take a Swig podcast. And this is Swig. We are back with some hot takes and some cold beers, and we are fully into NFL draft season. It is officially draft month, April, as we record this episode. Today, we're going to get into a little bit of an outlook at every position for the draft and give our top three players at each position right now. And before we get into that, got the whole gang with me today. Start with Blake. How you doing, my guy?
So I know we typically keep this show like lighthearted and fun, but I'm doing great now. But I just want to take a second to highlight the importance of mental health, especially among men. I feel like it's a demographic that does not pay nearly enough attention to it. Yeah.
It's an important message, my guy. Well said. Happy to have you back. Nick, my guy, here as well. How are you doing?
Doing great. And Blake's completely right. I think as us men, just for us men, we need to be able to talk about our feelings to one another. Get close, get to your loved ones and just talk about things, everybody. Just a nice little reminder we need to have.
Yeah.
Other than you, Swig.
Oh, well, yeah. Who said I was a man?
I'm just kidding, buddy.
Well, we went at the really height of a little boy.
And then destroying me in the first 30 seconds. So anyway, as
we
uplifting
love,
as this has turned into, before we get into the draft talk, wanted to mention a trade that happened in the NFL earlier today as we record this. That would be the Houston Texans getting Stephon Diggs from the Bills, along with a sixth-round pick this year, fifth-round pick next year, giving Buffalo a second-round pick in 2025. What do you boys make of the trade?
Personally, I don't feel like this moves the needle for either team. Like, I firmly believe Houston's a playoff team already. And I firmly believe Buffalo is headed to a extensive rebuild.
Well, the way I was going to ask it is, like, do you think for the Bills side, do you think this kind of marks the end of an era here with Diggs out?
It means their Super Bowl window is fully shut now, for sure. I mean, you know, with all their key losses this offseason.
I've been on this podcast for a little while. I was saying that over a year ago, they should have cut everybody. They just did it a year too late, in my estimate. And they waited an extra year. I don't see the point of it because they ended up exactly where we knew they were going to end up. Divisional round, close, but no cigar. That's just been the Bills with this roster they've had. And they finally, I'm glad that they didn't just keep on running the same team and they finally realized, okay, this ain't working. We can't get over the hump. We need to just, while Allen is young, we just need to scratch what we had. All the old players need to go and just start over. You're still going to be competitive with Josh Allen, but you need to start it all over. It's just, sorry, 1 second. Had to fix something. No, but I just think this Bills team was constructed. They were just older, and they just kept running the same cycle. And now what I'm seeing Brandon Bean doing, I like it. And I actually think this is going to help in the next couple of years. They're going to be back to where they just were, if not better, because they're going to get younger pieces in, cheaper contracts. And Sean McDermott's going to do well with that defense, so you don't have to worry about that. The offense will be fine as long as Josh Allen is there.
We'll see how he inspires the new wide receiver to take his place with terrorist speeches.
Hey, there's no I in Al-Qaeda.
The way it's spelled, that's kind of surprising, but that's true. Anyway, real quick for Houston, I will say, I mean, Diggs is a solid pickup for them. It gives them a veteran presence in the wide receiver room. They're obviously a young team coming off a breakout year. They didn't have to give up a ton to get him. Obviously, this isn't Diggs a couple years ago where it cost the Bills more when they got him from Minnesota, but add him to the room with Tank Dell, Nico Collins, obviously Stroud. I'm excited to watch Houston next year. They should be a fun team, but wanted to get that out of the way here before we get into the draft talk here, which I know we all love. And with the draft only 3 weeks away, what we're going to do on this episode is just go by position. We're going to say that we're, instead of doing like deep scouting report, deep dives on all these players, so that would take a while, just at each position, we're going to give our top three guys and kind of give you guys a primer for who to look out for in the first couple of days of the draft, maybe some guys to target if you want your team to take somebody at these positions. So figure we'll start with offense and then go over to defense. That works with you boys?
Works for me.
No.
I'll start us off with quarterback here. This isn't going to be the hottest take on the list for me. My top three right now, I got Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, and Jaden Daniels 3.
I think you just stole my paper, so sure. We know both could have something different.
I have one slight adjustment. Drake May 1, Caleb Williams 2.
Interesting. Okay. Make it quick. Why?
There's tendencies with Caleb Williams that I'm really not a fan of. And there's some major character concerns, for me at least.
Is it the pink cell phone?
I don't mind the like fingernail painting and stuff. Like that's whatever. It's a different generation, but my issues with the fuck Utah and that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Look, very curious. I think there was problems with his reckless play, and I think that at USC he was pretty much a one man show because of how terrible that defense was, which caused a lot of this one man show reckless play. You know how everyone compares him to Patrick Mahomes, running around the pocket and then making a crazy sidearm throw. Like, yeah, he can do that thing, but I think he's too dependent on some things and he just doesn't give them what the defense gives them at times because he wants to be the superhero. I think if he dials that back, he'll be just fine, but that is like one characteristic that I have noticed that it's kind of ridiculous, you know? And I think I saw a Bears player when I asked about Caleb Williams. You know, the first thing that they mentioned was, you know, if he's in the locker room, we just want him to humble himself. So there's already talk about him not being humble. So that's not a good thing. So for character issues, I see where Blake was heading for that.
Well, Bears fans, you heard it here first. Everyone else on the show hates Caleb Williams.
I think he's going to be a great quarterback, okay?
Well, I totally understand the concern. We mentioned a couple of years ago at Trevor Lawrence, like when he was the slam dunk number one, worrying about some turnover habits. There's always something that we can nitpick. Williams, I think, is the most talented, has the most upside. Obviously, things could go wrong, but at the very least, I see no world where he's not drafted number one, and we will see what happens in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely like immensely talented. The fit with Chicago, is it wrong that I placed him second based off of where he's going to get drafted?
No, not necessarily. Although I do like the Keenan Allen pickup for the Bears a lot.
I just don't believe in the coaching staff and the structure in Chicago. I feel like from ownership down, they need a lot of change.
Well, that's fair. And before we move on to running back, just one last note here. If the Giants end up taking J.J. McCarthy, check back on my mental health.
Oh, we'll have a live podcast at the draft, which means we'll be at.
That's going to make for some great content. But I'm already feeling existential dread just over saying that out loud. But I just wanted to give our audience a warning. Now, moving on to running back, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not huge on the running back class here. Don't have any of these guys as day one, like, say, Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs were last year. But at least right now, top three for me, Jonathan Brooks, Braylon Allen, Trey Benson.
Yeah, I like Braylon Allen and Blake Corum, but that's it. That's the only ones I like.
Corum's okay.
Yeah, I don't know too much about this running back class, so I'm really just going to go with the three guys I've seen the most tape of, which would be Blake Corum, Audric,
Esteem?
And Braylon Allen.
Okay. Well, we all like Braylon Allen, man. At running back.
Braylon Allen, to be honest, I think, you know,
I actually think he's going to be a really good running back in this league. He's a very young running back. I mean, he went to college at the age of 17. It was a starter for Wisconsin. So he's young, and I think he's going to take time to develop, but I think he's actually going to be a starter in a year or two. I really do. So if there's anyone that for me that you want to put money on that will break out of this really bad running back class, it should be Braylon Allen.
I could see it. Yeah, I do like Jonathan Brooks out of Texas as well. I will say I've been impressed with him. But outside of those two, I'm not a huge fan of the class either.
All right. Okay. I think we can all agree on the number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Romeo Doomsday.
Yes.
Thank you.
I like it. We all know that's who's going to be drafted first in 3 weeks, right?
Of course.
Yeah, top.
Can't wait for the Arizona Cardinals to pair him with Kyler Murray.
What about Frank Gore Jr.?
He's a running back.
Dang it.
You know what? I like it. We're going to make him a Shane Vereen type as a wide receiver and draft him in the first round.
You mean Dexter McCluster.
I mean Danny Woodhead.
You lost me. I couldn't think of it quick enough.
Well, yeah, I couldn't think of another one.
Yeah, see, don't test me on this, boys.
No. James White?
I like it. I like it. Super Bowl champion James White.
Yep. Okay, so we're just going with Patriots running backs.
Pretty much.
Hey, Darren Fold.
Kevin Fold. We're getting off the rails.
Garrett Blunt.
All right, boys. As much as I love the tradition Devon of Ridley? Random players.
Damn it.
Do either of you not have Marvin Harrison Jr. as your number one wide receiver?
No, I do. He's clear number one. But I think after that is a toss-up of who you want, and I think this is a very deep class for wide receivers. Actually, an amazing class.
Yeah, I agree. Marvin Harrison's my favorite prospect in this whole class, but after him, I feel like the waters are murky on where you want to place people, but there's a lot of talent here.
Well, it's a deep class. It's definitely one of my favorites that I've watched, and wide receiver is a class I've seen more of than most of the other positions here in the lead up. And the general consensus seems to be Harrison at one. I've seen some legitimate debate about Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze being 2 and 3. I've seen people with both sides of that. Do either of you have somebody else in your top three?
No, I think Romeo Odunze is my two, and then Malik Nabers is my three. I will say that I've seen rising up the draft boards I'm not a fan of is Brian Thomas.
Yeah, I'm not huge on him either. There's a lot of guys I do like, and the three wide receivers that are going to go at the top here, all very likely top 10 picks. Harrison, I love most, contested catch. Nabers is a really, really dynamic playmaker. I think Romo Odunze might be the most complete of the wide receivers, but not quite as high of an upside at the top three. But there's a lot to like about all of them. Just depends on what kind of offense, where you want to line them up, etc. But I do have them as my top three receivers. I'd be shocked if anyone else is one of the first three receivers off the board. I do have a couple sleepers I like, but at least for the purpose of this episode, those are the three I wanted to highlight.
I like Keon Coleman a lot.
Same.
I like Keon Coleman a lot, and I think he's actually moving down the draft boards a little bit because, you know, Xavier Worthy is going to go higher.
That's my other guy. I love Worthy.
Who's the other Texas wide receiver? I forget his name.
Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell?
Yeah, Mitchell. Then you got Brian Thomas, too. Who am I missing in this class? There's a few, man.
It's Troy Franklin.
I'm not a Troy Franklin fan. Who else?
Can I give you my sleeper real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I like Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina.
South Carolina, yes, sir.
He is pretty nice.
Have you heard him talk?
Yes. Xavier Leggett's voice is fantastic.
It makes no sense. That is a country dude. Man.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy ran the 4.21 at the 40 at the combine. He's going to skyrocket up some boards. But this is a deep wide receiver class, going to have a ton of guys flying off the boards. Obviously different than last year where while four wide receivers went in the first round, they went 20, 21, 22, 23. There's going to be several guys off the board before then. In this year's draft, Coleman is a guy that's going to be, I think, polarizing, but the physical gifts are insane with him. 6'4", a freak athlete. There's a lot to like about him.
I do like Ladd McConkey from Georgia.
I like McConkey. I like him too. I like him more on the second day, though.
Yeah, I think he's a sleeper. Yes, you're right. I think he's a second day guy, maybe second round. But I do like him a lot.
I'm excited for when we do the sleepers episode, because I could do a whole rant on Xavier Leggett, and like rant in a good way in this case. But those are the three that I'm expecting to come off the board. I'd like to recap: Harrison, Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze in some order. Obviously, Harrison's the overwhelming favorite to be the first receiver off the board. Curious to see what happens there, but I expect to run on wide receivers pretty early, as many as five or six drafted in the first round.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely potential for that.
Yeah. So anyway, move on to a class I'm not as high on overall, would be the tight end class. There's a runaway favorite to be the first tight end drafted, and that would be Brock Bowers. Do either of you guys have somebody else in front of him?
No.
I do not either. I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan of Bowers compared to some people, but still, to me, far and away the number one tight end in the class. A lot of upside with him. I've seen a lot of George Kittle comparisons, and if he has a career anything like him, and more importantly, has the personality of George Kittle, there will be a lot to like about him, if you ask me. But after him, not a huge fan of the rest of the class. What I ended up settling on for two and three, for me, I got Jatavion Sanders and Theo Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, after Brock Bowers, there's really not much. I do love Brock Bowers as a blocker too. Overall, I think it's a weak class, but, you know, I am a huge fan of Bowers because you can move him anywhere, and he can block, unlike Kyle Pitts. Sorry for the Kyle Pitts shade there. But no, I think Brock is going to be a staple for whoever drafts him. You know, I really see a team like the Chargers trading back and still getting Brock Bowers. And I think that is the perfect spot for him with Jim Harbaugh's offense. Really do.
I can see
that'd be a great fit.
Although Harbaugh, I think, has said that he wants to prioritize the offensive line as well. Although I do think he has multiple opportunities to do that. I think it's a pretty strong offensive tackle class.
Yeah, I like the tackles in this class a lot.
And we're going to talk about them next. But yeah, just to recap, so yeah, Brock Bowers, overwhelming favorite to be the first tight end out of Georgia. I have a lot of Texas guys I have on my board here with Sanders and Theo Johnson out of Penn State. But to me, there is a pretty big gap between the first tight end and the rest. Brock Bowers, we'll see where he gets drafted, but expect his name relatively early on day one. Moving over, though, into the offensive tackle class. What? You got something?
You didn't even let me do my two and three.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Who are your guys?
Yeah, I mean, like we've hit on already, there's not a lot of substance after Brock Bowers. So my two is Cade Stover, and my three is Theo Johnson.
Ooh, Cade Stover, Ohio State. I like him. I have him as my five. I like the guy out of Colorado State. I always forget his name. Hooter, I think it is.
And quick shout out to Trey Knox.
Of course.
You know, for someone that says this tight end class is bad, you get really excited to be able to say your three.
Sorry about that, Blake. Didn't mean to cut you off from that. But
I just don't like being skipped.
That's fair. That's fair. No disrespect intended. I apologize for that. But just wanted to get into the offensive tackle class because I'm a little excited for it. I think we might have a little bit more room for debate on this one. So, Nick, how about you start off? Who's your three favorite tackles in the class?
I like Joe All. I think All should be the clear number one, personally. I think people want to nitpick. He's one of those guys that's just a surefire, like, going to be a tackle in the league for a very long time. And I think people are just trying to nitpick. Penn State tackle would be my number two. Never pronounce his name right, so Machado? Please help me. Yes. I was trying to think of the last name more so. But he has the most upside. He is a freak. Dude is massive. And he played amazing at Penn State last year against good competition. But I just think Joe Hall is professionally sound, perfect to what you need. And then my third is I like Fuaga from Oregon State. That he's a mauler, really good in the run blocking. He definitely needs work in the pass blocking. But I think those three are the sure fires. I think there is a dip, though. It's a deep class, but it's a after those three, there's a dip. You got J.C. Latham. You got the tackle from Georgia.
Mims.
Yes. But I think after those three, there is a dip.
Okay. Blake, how about you?
Joe Alt won, obviously. And then I'm following in Nick's footsteps. The Penn State tackle is my number two.
Bishanu.
And not entirely sure why I'm so high on him, but for three, I'm going Kingsley.
Okay. I do like him. I really do. Don't have him in my top three, but he is a guy I'm higher on than most people, I would say. I'll give you mine in a second. We haven't mentioned him yet. I'm not huge on Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. I know some.
I was trying to think of the other one.
I don't like him at all.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But I'll give you mine. So, I agree overall with all. I like him a lot. He's my number one. But it was close for me. I am big on Fuaga. I have him right there with Alt. I am a huge fan of him. So he is my number two, but just barely. And then I have Fashanu third.
And I absolutely love Blake Fisher.
Fisher, I like. I like the, I forget the guy out of Kansas' his name, Booker, I think, but I like him as well. So anyway, yeah, hey, you heard it here first. Big Fuaga guy over here. Did you guys want to do guards and center separately or just do interior offensive lineman category?
My only thing with the Penn State tackle, man, is just like I just get a weird feeling. He's like Mekhi Becton. Because the dude's like talent is through the roof, massive, freak athlete, and – Mekhi had it one amazing year in the NFL. Then injuries derailed and they had a really bad year. I think my only concern is he can be similar where it's going to be very up and down. He could have really bad games and then have like a really good stretch. So I think I worry about his consistency. I think with Joe Alt, I don't have to worry about his consistency at all.
I do think Joe Alt is a day one starter. I have very little doubt on that, but you never know. I thought the same thing about Evan Neal, so you never know how that was going to work out.
But you always mention to kick him to guard, though. You've always mentioned that.
I do mention that, but it's not what we had in mind when we drafted him seventh.
No, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, and that's not what any team that drafts Joe Alt in the top 10 would be looking for either. But anyway.
You never know.
I do know. I do. Okay.
Never mind.
All right, boys. Question again. Do you want to do guards and center separate or just combine them into interior offensive linemen?
Yes.
That means combine.
Thank you. That's an answer. Let's combine them. Okay. So some guards and centers. I'm not huge on the classes of either, and I do kind of tend to group them together when I watch the tape a little bit, even though I know they're very separate positions. I have Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon at the top for me. I'm a bigger fan of him. I like Troy Fautanu out of Washington. I'd throw Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin in there. Pretty big on those guys. I'd call them day two picks for the most part. Maybe throw Powers Johnson at the end of round one if you're looking for a center. But I'm not huge on that class, but those are the three guys I mentioned right away. Maybe throw Graham Barton or Bo Limmer in there, but this isn't my favorite position class in this year's draft.
Yeah, so I'm going to be 100% transparent here. I don't know jack shit about this group of players, so I'm going to be 100% biased. I'm going to be biased. Bo Limmer, one.
Of course.
Zach Frazier, two. And Cooper Beebe, three.
I do like Beebe. I have him on my list here, but I appreciate the transparency. Do we just leave Blake out until we move on to the defensive side of the ball?
Yes.
It's a good answer.
But I think he makes a great point. It is so bad, he's willing to be biased over this. That's how poor the guards are. I really think it's just Jackson Powers Johnson, and that's it. I really think it's just there's a massive drop off. And I still think Jackson Powers Johnson is going to be good center. I think he's more of a second round pick, but someone's going to pick him in late first round. But other than that, I really don't see much out of that class.
It's not my favorite either. I do like I always like the Wisconsin center because they got the track record when going back to Travis Frederick or Tyler Biotish. Like I have some hope for Bortolini, but I'm not huge on it either. I do think Graham Barton, I think I mentioned, has some upside, but definitely not my favorite class either. And that's all I got for the offensive side. So flip over to defense here. I was going to start with defensive tackle, which I think is an interesting class, but a little top heavy. I'll bring you back in. Don't want to leave you out for very long here. Are you a little bit more familiar with the defensive tackle class?
No.
Okay. Nick, who's your top three in defensive tackles?
I'm looking at these names, and I recognize one.
I'm going to be honest. I think overall this defensive class is pretty weak this year. I just like from top to bottom, I'm not huge on this defensive class, but the tackles, I like the tackle from, I'm not huge on Murphy. I'm really not. Sweat, I think he can be a good nose tackle in this league. And then I like the tackle, the interior lineman from Illinois,
Jason Newton.
Yes. I like him a lot. He's my number one. Then I'll go Murphy and then Sweat.
What the hell would you boys do if I didn't remember the names of these guys that you're struggling
with? Man, it's a rough one for me today. I don't have a paper next to me either.
I'm literally just looking at the list of players. So I guess I'd do fine and just butcher the enunciations.
Well, let's not try to torpedo all of our credibility with the audience. But yeah, I'm in a similar boat. I have Newton as my favorite. I have he's out of Illinois. It's Avondre Sweat out of Texas, my number two. He's my favorite nose tackle in the class. In the center, like you line him up over the center as a zero or a one technique. I like him a lot there as a run stuffer, two gap guy. And then reluctantly, I have Byron Murphy as my third. This isn't my most studied position yet. I got about five or six guys that I have in my notebook here. I got more I'm looking to add, but right now it's not my favorite position class. I do like some of the edge rushers a lot more. Want to talk about them next. Blake, I'm going to give you another shot here. Are you looking at a list, or do you got some opinions this time?
After very, very, very brief glances, I'm going Brian Murphy 1, Newton 2, and Chris Jenkins 3.
Okay. What about answering the edge rushers question?
That I can do.
All right.
Going Dallas Turner 1.
Okay.
Latu 2.
Okay.
And my absolute favorite edge rusher, Chop Robinson 3.
I do like Chop Robinson. I like the name Chop Robinson a lot. Thought he was fun at the Senior Bowl. I see Nick having a minor seizure here on the camera. What do you got?
Well, he took my list.
Oh, okay, really? So you were mad because he took your option and not because you hate one of those players.
No, I love Latu. I think he is the best pure pass rusher.
Yeah, just Latu is a lot of fun.
Yeah, just a pure, just go after the quarterback on third down. You need a sack. That is Latu. And I think he's going to generate the most, probably the most like sack numbers. He won't be great against the run. And he'll probably be used less in more certain situations. But I love Latu a lot. I think Dallas Turner's the best overall edge rusher. And he excelled at the combine.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that.
I do like Chop Robinson a lot. But I think, I think after Turner and Latu, I think there is a drop-off. I'm not a fan of Jared Verse.
Ooh,
not at all. Florida State. Not a huge fan of him, but I think there is a drop-off after those two. I do still like Chop in the first round, and then Verse, I feel like he's more of an early day two kind of guy for me.
Okay, so Verse to me, I like him. He reminds me of Fashanu on the tackle side in the sense that they both easily could have declared last year and been first round picks. They both decided to go back to school for another year. I'm glad you mentioned Turner in the pre-draft at the combine. I think he solidified himself as the top edge rusher to be drafted mm-hmm. here. Big fan of Dallas Turner, but Latu mm-hmm. out of UCLA was my favorite tape to watch, even though I have Turner a step above him. I really, really enjoyed watching his games. They were just a lot of fun for me. I liked watching Jalen Phillips when he started there before he went to Miami. Like, I feel similar about Latu, even though they're different styles of players. I just smiled when I watched the tape. Now,
is it Latu have like a medical issue or something?
Yes, and that is the thing to worry about if he ends up falling down draft boards. We see it with prospects every year, and obviously the medicals matter. So I'm not discounting that, but just based on tape, big fan. I do think Dallas Turner is going to be a top 10, top 15 pick at the very lowest here. Thought he smashed the combine process in February. I was torn here between Verse and Chop Robinson because I think Robinson has higher upside. I do think he's slightly overrated compared to how much he's rising up some of these draft boards. Like, I have him in my 40s on the big board right now. I still like Jared Verse a lot. So right now, this could easily change. I lean towards having him as my third because I was a huge fan of him last year. I loved watching him at Albany and then dominating Florida State. So he's a fun story for me. But that is – I would lean Verse 3, Chop Robinson 4 right now. But – even though they're different players, I have them as interchangeable. So that's where I'm at with the edge rushers. I do like that class a lot. I would agree with Nick that I think there's a drop off.
So moving on from the edge rushers, want to transition over to the linebacker spot.
I'm not as high on this position that I was on some of the edge rushers, but I do think there's a couple players I'm higher on. There was a couple guys I thought had a good pre-draft process. Let's start with Nick here. Who's your top three linebackers in this draft?
All right. My top three are, my number one is Peyton Wilson.
Yep.
Out of NC State. I like Edgerrin Cooper.
Okay.
And then I like Cedric Gray out of North Carolina.
Dude, those are my top three.
Let's go, Swig. But I will say, sneak one I love is Junior Colson.
He's my number four.
Let's go.
All right. Not anything to disagree on. Blake, you got something different?
Yeah. So my third is kind of a toss-up for me right now. But I'm going to go with Trotter at three. I have the same first two as you guys. But my honorable mention is the linebacker out of Notre Dame. I'm not going to try to say his last name.
I know who you're talking about. I don't know how to say his fucking name either. But the I thought Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper both had an awesome week in Indianapolis. So they rised up a lot for me. I like them as guys who are off the ball. And I like Cedric Gray a lot as more of a Mike linebacker in the middle out of North Carolina. And Colson was a close fourth for me compared to Cedric Gray. Like I picked Gray at the last minute, but I have both of them with similar grades. Those are the guys I'm looking for. But for me, yeah, Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper were my two favorite. So anyway, yeah, all right. I like that. That's a clean one. I feel like we might have different opinions on corner because I feel like over the years, what we've talked both on and off the pod, this is the one where we debate a little bit more because we all might look for different traits in corners or different schemes. So I'll let Nick start with linebackers. Blake, let's have you start with who's your top three corners in this draft.
All right. I just want to kick things off by like saying like the quality of this position this year, it needs to be in question for the fact that a white guy can be argued as the best one.
We do. Hey, we talked about mental health. We're not going to start a race war like Rashard Mendenhall did. Okay, white corners are corners too.
That being said, yeah. My number one is Cooper DeJean.
Of course. Nice setup. Nice execution.
And two, I'm going Terrion Arnold, and three, Mike Sanristo.
Sanristil from Michigan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him a lot.
I do like Sanristil. Nick, you got something different?
And yes. I absolutely hate Mitchell.
Ooh.
Okay. He just led me right to what I wanted to do. My favorite is Cooper, just because you can put him anywhere. In Iowa, he was at the slot. He played box. He played outside. And his coverage rate was really good. And I think you can put him at safety. You can put him in the box. You can come off blitz off the slot. He can play slot. He can play outside. And I think his versatility is what sets him over the edge. But I do love Mitchell. His raw athleticism, and he's shooting up the draft boards. I love Mitchell, and I think people might shy away from him being at a lower school. But being a DB, you can be at a lower school and still do really great things in the NFL. I think that's one of those positions. Being a lower school doesn't really matter. My next, I like Arnold at my three. I think he's more fundamentally sound than Kool-Aid. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry. But I actually, as a sleeper, I love Ennis. Rakestraw Jr.
Missouri.
Yes, I love him. I think he's going to be a late round, probably even, I would say more of a fourth or fifth round pick. And I think he's going to do really good things in the NFL, be a really great depth piece. I don't like Wiggins at all.
Yes. Yeah. That one I agree with.
I'm sorry. I zoned out for a second. Who did you shout out?
Rakestraw from Missouri.
Okay. Now, I will say the athleticism for Mitchell is really nice, but the fundamentals are not there for me. Like, I can't go with a guy just off athleticism, and he provides nothing else on tape for me.
Yeah, yeah, I gotta say, I don't agree with that at all for Mitchell, but I'll get into it in a second. Yeah, I do think this is one of the deepest position classes in this year's draft. I like it a lot. So I went back and forth on this one, but the corners are actually the first position I evaluated when I started doing the draft stuff a couple months back. And I eventually settled on Terrion Arnold as my favorite corner in this draft. He is my number one. I think, like Kendrick Lamar, he's like that. He's fucking awesome. I just, every time I watch him, there's something more to like about him. He started off as a safety at Alabama. He hasn't even been a corner for that long, and he still does so many things, both in the run and the pass game, that I absolutely love. I think the technique is way more advanced than I expected for somebody who hasn't been a corner for more than a couple seasons. I do think he gets turned around a little bit more often than I would like, but he has all the traits, all the coverage instincts, all the football IQ that I'm looking for in a shutdown corner. So I am a big fan of Terrion Arnold. He's my number one. And then I have Quinyon Mitchell as my number two. Both of them I thought were awesome in the pre-draft. I loved Mitchell at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was I thought he had the best Senior Bowl of any prospect in this draft. I love how fluid his hips are. I love the athleticism, the recovery speed. My biggest concern with him is just, I thought he took some plays off effort-wise in the run game. And I'd like to see him bulk up a little, but I do usually penalize effort things a little bit more, but just the raw athleticism and the technique and the pass coverage ability, and I love him in zone. Like, Mitchell is a guy I'm really high on too. And then I have Kool-Aid McKinstry as my number three, but it was very close between him, Cooper DeJean, and Rakestraw.
Oh, you like Rakestraw too?
I do. Wiggins is my number six, by the way. I'm just worried about him more with the size than anything else.
I just want to say this very clear. If you ever, I just have PTSD when I see someone in the 40-yard dash do really well, but holds up on a hammy at the end of it. I feel like, obviously, John Ross is the obvious one, but I feel like a lot of times you see someone like that and just pull up and get hurt in a 40-yard dash with no pads, no nothing. They're going to be a little bit more injury prone. I think I've seen it too many times with players.
There's a long tracker record of it, man. It's not just you. I agree.
Yeah, and I think just seeing that, I have to look more into his tape, but just seeing that alone worries me. So I just don't know if I can trust him longevity-wise. I understand why he's moving up because of that speed, but I like the other four main guys. I think
Kool-Aid is falling down the draft boards, and I just don't understand why.
No, I don't either. I do like Arnold more, just out of the two Alabama guys.
Yeah.
McKinstry is still my number three. He's got a lot of fun tape.
I'm fine with McKinstry falling. Like, if he lands in Kansas City, I'd be happy.
Of course you would. You need a Legarius Sneed replacement.
There's no replacing him.
Well, you're going to have to try.
You know, I do want to really quickly shout out Kalen King. I love him.
Okay. Yeah. Kalen King was a guy I think fell off from, like, not fell off, but fell down my personal draft board a little bit throughout the year. I liked that he faced big competition in the Big Ten, and I thought he held his own in some of the games, but there were some where I thought his weaknesses got exposed pretty well. And I think I have him more as my seventh or eighth corner on the board.
So what do you think for Cooper? Where does he belong on the field?
Well, I like him lined up corner safety. I love his special teams impact. I thought we saw that a lot for an Iowa team that only thrived on special teams. Shout out to the Iowa punter, by the way. Punts matter. And so do punt returns, and Cooper proved that throughout the season. I'm not sure. I like him best as a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing about Cooper that, like, knocks him. And I still have him at my number one because of the versatility, but that's also what knocks him. I don't know where his true position is going to be. I think what makes him great because of that is because I can move him anywhere and I trust his longevity as a player.
Swig, I figured you'd be more sour on the Swiss Army knife type after Isaiah Simmons.
Well, first of all, we only gave up a seventh-round pick for him, so I'm not mad at that one personally.
I think you just got you, Blake.
I mean, I just wanted to bring up Giants failure real quick.
Well, we have plenty of those, so you're going to have to do better.
Flowers.
Yeah, see, that is a
human turnstile.
Yes.
Are we just naming them now?
Hey, what about David Wilson? Helm?
Wait, what?
What about the mental health? I don't want this to snowball again, all right? I already see where this is going.
What about David Wilson?
I was going to bring him up.
Hey, before we get too off track, Wilson, I'm sad because he had the injury, the neck injury. That's not anything to fuck with. I don't hold him personally. Obviously, if you really want to, we could go Flowers or Eli Apple right now because we took them top 10 two straight years. So
talking about Super Bowl starting corner Eli Apple? Yeah, think not. That dude is not a bust.
What about Kadarius Toney?
Oh, DeAndre Baker. Man, this is getting really depressing.
At least Toney won a Super Bowl. Actually won two.
Yes,
Daniel Jones.
Scratch for the second one.
Daniel Jones is the obvious one, right?
Of course. Do you want me to bring up Jalen Reagor? Do you want me to play this game?
Let's go, Jalen Reagor, Marcus Smith.
Who was that offensive tackle?
Oh, Andre Dillard.
No, a little bit further back.
Danny Watkins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they chose to be a firefighter over the NFL.
Thank you.
We drafted him first round, and that same year, I think he left to be a firefighter. But good for him, though. Found out his purpose.
Yeah, if we're the big three, there's a reason I said I'm like that, because you guys are just pissing me off. So,
well, if we're the big three, I'm the big me.
No, I'm the big me. Now,
no, I'm the big me.
I'm Dirty Dan.
No, I'm Dirty Dan.
All right. Now, as much as I love going through these draft busts that gave me heart palpitations a few years back, we got to finish this off with the safety class, which I'll say up front, I'm not very high on this year. But I'll start this one off because I think I've been going back and forth with you guys. I did Tyler Nubbin, however the fuck you say it, out of Minnesota is my number one safety. Cam Kinch is out of Miami is number two. And I have Javon Bullard as number three, but this is not my favorite position at all.
I do like the Minnesota guy, Nubbin. Yeah. But I am a fan of Jaden Hick.
Ooh, okay. I have him as my fifth safety.
I really like him. He's more of an in the box safety to me. He's a really good tackler. Can be over the middle. But I like him as my number two. And then I like Hitchens as my number three. But like you said, it's not a great safety class. I think it's just okay. I think you should focus on the corners more so the safeties.
Yeah, exactly. So you heard me say corners, one of my favorite positions in the class. Safety is one of my least favorite, one of the more boring positions to me. It's like, basically you look at it that way. The corners are the 69 of this class and safeties are missionary. I'm just not interested in it.
Okay. Kind of tripped me up there.
But, I take it back. Yeah. I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah, I don't feel like this safety class has much to offer. I don't feel like there's an incredible gap from top to bottom. There's just not a lot of separation for me with these guys. But I'm going Newbin 1, Kitchens 2, and Vaki 3.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I don't have a ton to say here. I don't think this is a round or a day one kind of group. Maybe Newbin sneaks in at the end, but I don't see it, man. I really don't.
We need to give a shout out to the best punter, Iowa's punter,
Torrey Taylor.
He deserves to get drafted. There's one player that deserves to get drafted. It is Torrey Taylor. He put that Iowa team on his back.
He did. No punter has more tape available than him.
Hunting is fun with him, okay?
It is fun.
If we're shouting out the best punter, I'd like to shout out the best kicker. Any guesses?
Go for it, man.
Cam Little.
I don't have the same passion for that I do for the Iowa punter. Not going to lie to you guys.
Obviously,
just swept under the rug on that one.
I do like at the end of the college football season at some Iowa games where there were some guys in the stands who wore shirts that just said punts on them, and I thought that was fantastic.
Reach my quota for Arkansas players mentioned in this episode.
Well, you've reached your quota. Well done.
What was the over under the Nebraska Iowa game? It was
23.5.
Yeah, and I still did the under, and the under hit.
And it worked because it finished 13-10. I love that football game so much.
Freaking Black Friday football game every year.
Every year. Noon kickoff, bet the under, leftover Thanksgiving food, everything about it fucks.
Mm-hmm. Stuck at work, need to put it on the corner of my screen. You know what to do.
You got to start taking Black Friday off, man.
I know. But I got other things I need to take off. Like the draft. Sir.
Can't wait for that.
I'm off 3 weeks away. I hate being on a rotating schedule. I can't keep track of what, important days I'm already off.
Well, you got to do a better job.
Don't you work tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow night, yeah.
So you would be off for the draft on Thursday.
Where do you calculate this math?
Because if you do every other.
That's true. The draft's 3 Thursdays from now.
So I work off. So it's on the 25th?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. All right. I'm coming.
All right. Perfect.
No!
We should have done that weeks ago. Anyway.
Able to do the math weeks ago.
You just got to get on a podcast with me. I know Nick started that, but I can do the math.
We can help you with that.
I feel like this was a very productive and fun episode, but I liked our original idea better of just doing a full episode on Bo Nix.
You know, we never brought him up for the quarterbacks. Out of all things, this quarterback draft is draft class is deep. So I just want to say I love Michael Penix.
I do love Michael Penix.
He's my number four. I just don't like J.J. McCarthy. I think Bo Nix can thrive if he's in Sean Payton's system. Everywhere else, he's a backup and not doing anything. I think he can thrive for Sean Payton's system, though. But I love Michael Penix.
huge Michael Penix fan. As long as the medical passes, I can argue he might be the best pure passer in the pocket.
Yeah. Lefties matter too, by the way.
Lefties, yeah, I definitely go Penix 4 and Knicks 5.
McCarthy, yeah. 6 for you, Blake?
Debatable. I really don't like McCarthy.
I would put McCarthy ahead of Knicks. I'm not a Knicks fan. I would actually put Spencer Rattler in front of Knicks.
Is doing the unlikely and actually winning me back slightly from where I have him.
No, same. Oh, I think he learned his lesson in South Carolina. I'm like, all right. So you deserve what you got from not being humble. So, all right, let's come back a little bit. But I don't mind Spencer Rattler. I just think Bo Nix. I just don't think he has the talent enough. He doesn't have a good enough arm. Not really. I don't think he's that athletic enough in the NFL speed. And size wise, he's not there. But what he does well is he's like a point guard for quarterbacks. He will hit that first read or whatever that read is, whatever the defense gives them. He will just take the check down. He will take the easy route. And I think that's what Sean Payton wants. That's why Russell Wilson didn't work. And I think Bo Nix would fit perfectly in that system.
I figured you'd be higher on him, considering you're the guy that ran with Chad Pennington for years in Madden.
Well, just because I like a noodle arm with good accuracy doesn't mean I like every single one of them. I like Chase Daniel.
Okay, so apparently you don't like Chase the one Daniel. That's comeback player of the year, but you like the career backup with a great agent.
Well, I say I like Chad Pennington. I love Chad Pennington.
Well, you know, you mentioned I'm a Knicks fan, but not in the Knicks that we're talking about. And it was right there.
You're talking about Penn Knicks.
I do like him more. And you guys forgot to mention the most important thing about Rattler. I barely know her.
So, J.J. McCarthy, a giant swing or what?
I hope not.
Man, I can't wait for that.
I hope you guys draft Sam Hartman.
Ooh. On day 3, fine.
Ooh, I like Sam Hartman.
Okay, well, you know what the best thing Hartman and Knicks have done is stay in college since the Obama administration.
Man, that Knicks, I'm surprised he was able to get all that eligibility, man. That dude should have been typing up his LinkedIn profile like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Like, wasn't he at Auburn in, like, 2017? Like,
he played against Justin Herbert when he was in Auburn.
Yeah, that makes me mad.
Man.
You know what? I'm excited.
I'm telling you, Penix is that guy.
Just the medicals, man. He's very talented, but he's got a lot of injury problems.
I don't know. I got a lot of faith in Bo Nix. I definitely believe he's, like, a time traveler or something. Of some sorts, like we've hit on, it feels like he's been playing in college since I was a child.
It does. I look forward to when he time travels 3 years into the future in the UFL.
You mean starting quarterback for the New York Giants?
St. Louis Brahmers? St. Louis Battle?
Yeah, I'm sticking with the UFL, boys, but I'm not going to lie.
I can't wait for the Giants to give him a Kirk Cousins-level contract.
We already did that with Jones.
So, do it again.
No, I don't want to do it again.
Got you a playoff win.
Yeah, I guess.
You won two Super Bowls with Eli Manning. You should have more faith in bad quarterbacks.
Okay, first of all, Jones is not on Eli's level. And second of all, I mean, for saying Jones is worth it. Saying Jones is worth it for one playoff win is like if you go to baseball saying Domingo Herman's an ace because he threw one perfect game. Like it doesn't make up for all the other bullshit.
Yeah, you lost me. I have no idea who the fuck that is.
Well, look him up.
Can you say that name again?
That drunk
Domingo Herman. Yes, he has a drinking problem. Smashed some TVs. Smashed his wife's face. Threw a perfect game.
So he's your favorite player.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, boys, we're getting off the rails here. Let's reel it back in.
Real quick, let me throw out the disclaimer. He is not my favorite player.
All right. The Yankees have been doing good, though.
6-1.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense considering he's a Yankees player.
Yes, yes.
Where else would you think he does know about every single player there is?
Except for yeah. Coke and Crisp.
That's my favorite player of all time in baseball
Never
history.
Never a Yankee. But, boys, I'm not going to lie to you. I want to get the hell to bed. So let's wrap this up. It was great having you guys back on here. Love draft season. Love. I'm excited to be at the draft with you boys in 3 weeks. And for our listeners, hope that was a good primer for you guys. If you don't know some of the positions or don't know some of the names yet, hopefully this will help you out. Please let us know some of your opinions. If you got some guys you like more or less than ours, any guys we missed, any sleepers you want to hear about, make sure to rate, review, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on X and Instagram at Take a Swig Pod. But for Blake and Nick, this is Swig. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back with a mock draft episode soon. Have a good one.